Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. A couple quotes that I run across this week was Bill Cosby said, "Fatherhood is pretending the presence you love most is soap on a rope." Charles Wadsworth said, "By the time a man realizes that maybe his father's right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong." And I was reading those and I kind of went kind of with what I was thinking with my message today on the ingredients of God. And my question, first of all, is if we're created in the image of God, the Father, are we reflecting His image in our life? Does our family see Jesus in our expressions, our words, and our actions? As fathers today, are we portraying the image of God for our children, for our wives, and for the rest of the world? Can all of us look into the mirror of life and stare at the image that we see and be completely honest and proud of who we are as Christians? In 2 Corinthians, Paul's speaking about being servants of the new covenant. And Paul says in verse 3, "Does this sound as if we were, again, boasting about ourselves? Could it be that, like some other people, we need letters of recommendations to you or from you? You yourselves are the letter we have written on our hearts for everyone to know and read. It is clear that Christ Himself wrote this letter and sent it by us. It is written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, and not on a stone tablet, but on human hearts. We say this because we have confidence in God through Christ. There's nothing in us that allows us to claim that we are capable of doing this work. It is He who makes us capable of serving the new covenant, which consists not of a written law, but of the Spirit. The written law brings death, but the Spirit gives life. The law was carved in letters on stone tablets, and God's glory appeared when it was given. Even though the brightness of Moses' face was fading, it was so strong that the people of Israel could not keep their eyes fixed on him. If the law, which brings death, when it is in force, comes with such glory, how much more is the glory that belongs to the activity of the Spirit? The system which brings condemnation was glorious. How much more glorious is the activity which brings salvation?" Paul says, "We may say that because of the far brighter glory, now the glory that was so bright in the past is gone. For if there was glory in that which lasted for a while, how much more glory is there in that which lasts forever? Moses put a veil over his face so that people of Israel would not see the brightness fade and disappear. Their minds indeed were closed, and to this very day their minds are covered with the same veil as they read the books of the old covenant. The veil is removed only when a person is joined to Christ. Even today, whenever they read the laws of Moses, the veil still covers their mind. But it can be removed, as the Scripture says about Moses. His veil was removed when he turned to the Lord. Now the Lord in this passage is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom." Hallelujah. "But of us, then, reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, and that same glory comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into His likeness," or image, His image, "in every greater degree of glory." Now, turn with me over to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's pray again. Father, I pray and come against every distraction in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, right now, as this word says, your freedom would be in this place, Lord. And God, that Lord, that we would receive from you this morning. And we put the devil on notice. You have no authority in this place and in any of our lives. And we bind up any distractions right now. And we pray, Lord God, that you would speak. And God, your word would be exalted above everything. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I want to look at is I want to look at a couple words here in this scripture here in Genesis. And it's the word created. This morning I was going over this message and I was Penny was getting dressed and stuff, and I do this sometimes. I get going back over my message or whatever, and God will give me something else. You know, I'll get something new, and I'm like, oh God, I got to get that in there. You know, I'm from 3 pages to 5 pages all of a sudden. But isn't that the way God is sometimes? Yeah. You know, when we start seeking Him, sometimes He shows us more and more and more. And so today's message is kind of a prophetic message that Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to look at this word created. And I looked at, I said, created in His image, in our image, it says. Who is our? Who is God talking about? Our image there. This is in the beginning, right? We're all the way over in Genesis, are we not? Who is our? Who's God? What's He saying? Anybody? Anybody think they can? Who would God be talking about? What's the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind as we read this again in our image. But that word created, when I look it up, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Hebrew word because I'd probably mess it up. But it means, it gives it says it's like to be cut like a piece of wood. And I was like, what? But it means to be cut or like a piece of wood. And I was thinking, wait a minute. To be cut, created. And God began to show me in there what it really means. It's like when you take a piece of wood to create something beautiful, what do? You want to get the best out of that piece of wood, don't you? You want to take the best thing, the part out of that. And it says, he's talking about in His image, he means he's taking the best part of himself out of that to create us. We're created in His own image, it was saying, that word. And Penny, share what you said. That was good this morning when we were talking about this.
If you're making something out of wood, you know how the wood has different designs and it's different knots, all that kind of thing. And so there are certain parts of the wood that would be good for making different things, right? So in that same way that God creates us, it's like there's a piece of wood and He's carving out of it certain parts of Himself. And that's how He's creating us. He's actually giving us characteristics or qualities of Himself. So in the same way that as He's carving a piece of Himself out to make us, He's not carving the same piece for everybody. Because we are all different. We have different personalities, different characteristics. You follow?
Yeah.
So it's no cookie cutter thing. He carves different parts of the wood that of Himself and gives us characteristics and qualities from Him that match not only who we are, but what He designed us for that matches and meets our purpose.
Right. That's good. I found it's 1254. It means bara, to create, qualified, it said, to cut down, and it's got quotation, wood, select pieces. To cut down. And when I started thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, Jesus gives an analogy, doesn't he, of the tree. He is the what?
He's the vine.
He's the vine, but also that we're the branches.
Yes.
And he is the root, he's the vine, he's the center of it all. So God's saying there, he takes that select piece, selects part of each one. And like Penny said, each one of us, he's got a special plan, a special purpose. The Bible says he knew us from the foundation of the world. Before we were even in our mother's womb, God knew us, didn't he? So he created and cut us out of his own image. That part, it's just awesome when you think about that. And so, and he goes on, and then it says, the other word is that image. Again, what is the image of God? What is the image of God? How did he reflect himself? Through Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through Christ. Christ walked on this earth. He gave us the example of what it, as much as he was God, he was also man. What was he not? So that is the reflection of who God is when Christ walked as man. So keep that in mind. Now, as we look at the other word, rule over. What does that mean? Rule over, he said, the birds of the sea and of all this world. Right? So he gave us that power. How did he give us the power to rule over all these things? Through him. He cut that part of himself out to rule and to walk over this world and to rule and be able to control our lives. Come on. Our will, our emotions, all these things in our life. He does that by that part of himself that he has cut out of himself. Every bit of who he is, that image of who he is in each one of us. Okay? So, keep that in mind. Now, my first point is to, we have to understand that we have to be born again to see the image of who God is. We have to be born again to see the image. When God was giving me this, I was brushing my teeth and I looked up in the mirror and he began to speak to my heart about some of this. And I want to ask you this morning, when we look into that mirror and we reflect and we look into that mirror, are we really liking what we see? Are we really liking right now in our life who we are? And that's what we're talking about over the next few weeks, is it not? Who we are in Christ. Keep that in mind. Is the reflection we're seeing in the image of God? I don't know. There was a story I thought about a man he was telling me about. He'd gone to the beach and he was with his kids, and he had a son, and the little son had was playing and running around, and he found a dead seagull over there, and he asked his father, he'd come over to him, and he asked his father, he said, what's wrong with the seagull? Where's the seagull gone? You know, he's a little boy. What happened to him? And the dad said, he died and went to heaven. And the little boy replied and said, did God throw him back? That's a funny story, but sometimes it's a story of life, because do we really understand who we are and what it means to be born again? There's a story of in the Bible that Jesus teaches in John 3 about the man Nicodemus. Y'all heard of this story, hadn't you? Nicodemus, And Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a teacher. He was a great man. He was one of the Pharisees of the Jews. And he came to Jesus one night, and he said to Jesus, he called him Rabbi. Why did he call him Rabbi? Because Jesus was teaching and walking around. He didn't realize who Jesus really was, did he? Well, not only him, his disciples really didn't realize either, did they? They walked with Jesus, but they really didn't realize who Jesus was. So Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs, he said, that you do unless God is with you. Jesus replied and said to him, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's kind of, the nature of anybody that didn't realize what Jesus said would probably think, right? Jesus replied, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Of course, Nicodemus, being amazed and confused, looked at Jesus like he was crazy, basically, didn't he? Like, what? Jesus continued and said, he said, don't be amazed that I sent you, you must be born again. Don't be amazed, he said. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from. And it don't know it, he said, so everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, it's not just enough to know God. That ain't enough. It ain't to know who God is. And just like Nicodemus, do you think Nicodemus believed in God? I think he did, probably, right? Because he's what? He's a teacher. He was the Jewish people were all educated in the old covenant and all the things of God. I believe Nicodemus knew who God was, but he didn't know who Jesus was, did he? Mm. He couldn't see spiritually who Jesus was. Why? He wasn't born again. Thursday night I was in jail and I was went into workforce. It's a place where some of the inmates get to go and they do work, and they let them, do work instead of being in the pods. And had a young man in there, and we sat down and started sharing, and he started sharing he said, I got faith. I said, okay, good. I said, what you got faith in? He said, well, I believe in God. I said, well, good. And he shared a little more, and I said, but you understand that it's more than that, don't you? He said, what do you mean? That's what reminded me of this story. And I said, do you understand what this is? He said, it's the Bible. I said, okay. He said, but I don't always understand it. I said, I understand that, because I remember when I was young, I didn't understand this either. I said, what kind of Bible you got? And he told me. I said, well, I had a King James. I grew up, and that was the only Bible, King James. I said, but I didn't understand all the thus, thous, and these, and all these things in there. And I said, you need to understand. And he said, well, I have a Bible that's, and it was amplified, but I still just don't understand. And I led him over here to where it says in John 3, this same verse. I said, see, there's something that you have to understand. Unless you become born again, you're not going to understand. It's a mystery, it says, Paul describes it. It's a mystery to those who don't know Christ.
Yes.
It's a mystery because they don't understand because they're spiritually dead.
Yes.
You can't understand this until you become born again. You can't understand who you are in Christ if Christ isn't in you. And I begin to share that with him. It's like a light bulb come on, you know? It's like, wait, and I had him read it. I said, what does that mean? He says, does the water mean when you're born of a woman, a mother? I said, yeah. And then what he's saying, the Spirit is when you become born of God? I said, that's it. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And I explained the plan of salvation. And I led him to the Lord. And it was just like that. A light come on in that young man's life. He said, I understand now. A lot of people we see today who have a form of godliness, but they don't really realize the truth about being born of the Spirit. A lot of times people are getting all like, ooh, Spirit. You know, like, ooh, freaky, kind of like ghost. King James says Holy Ghost, right? And whether it's Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, it's all about knowing and understanding that when, going back to Genesis, when man chose to do it on his own, what happened? Sin entered into the world. Death entered into the world of the spirit man. We chose a life without Christ and without God. And they become naked, it said in the Bible. They wondered after they chose in that garden and had that experience. They were stripped from who they were right then when they chose that in their life. So, from that moment on, progression of sin with man. And then that's why we had to have Christ to come on into our life. And that's the whole key. The first point is that you have to be born again. And the second point I want to make this morning, we have to be submissive to God and His purpose for our life. And be pliable and allowing God to mold our lives and to shape our future. A lot of people are wandering around and we're doing our own things. And God has a plan for each and every one of us in this room. Did anybody know the story in Jeremiah? And if you want to turn your Bibles over, Jeremiah 18. There's a story God has, or we have in there. And God's talking to Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah the prophet, in it's 18. I'll give y'all time to get there. God sent Jeremiah the prophet to a man's house. And this man was a crafter, a potter. And anybody ever seen a potter? Somebody that creates pots and things and all. He's a craftsman. He uses his hands and clay, and takes clay and the thing's spinning around, and it all just starts out with a big old lump of clay. But God gives Jeremiah this, sends him there, and it says that the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord was, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house. So he went down to the potter's house and he saw him working on a wheel, the potter. It says, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. It was just a marred, just a clump. It was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot. shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then it says in 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, what can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter, meaning Israel as this potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. Now who is Israel? God's chosen people, right? Who are we now that we're in Christ? God's chosen people, right? He says, if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. What is this saying here? What do you think God's saying here? God's got something for somebody right here in this one prophecy. I believe this, that somebody's on God's potter's wheel here today. I believe that with all my heart. I believe right now you may be feeling that you're just, you don't know, your life is in turmoil. I don't know, you might be like just the old lump of clay. But God's wanting to tell somebody here today that He's got some. He wants to take you and put you on this place, the potter's wheel, and start to form you and make you something beautiful. And you don't even know it right now. You don't even realize it. But what's keeping us from being that molded, shaped thing of God in our life right now? What's keeping us from allowing God to do these things in our life? God wants to make you beautiful. He wants to bless you. But just like He's talking about the children of Israel here, we become stiff-necked. We've decided, well, we're going to just do this ourselves. We're going to do this our own way. In a way, the body of Christ has decided, well, this is the way we're going to do this. This is the way our church is supposed to be. And this is the way, you know, that we feel like this is the way our church is supposed to be. Is that the way God intended it to be? Is that the way things are supposed to be as God intended in our lives? And we've forgotten the consequences, though, just like in the garden of what happens is sin. And that's what God's telling them here in this prophecy. He's sending the prophet Isaiah to tell them, say, basically, do you not think that I could destroy you at any minute? I could take away your blessings? I mean, God made a way over and over again for the children of Israel. He told Moses to go and tell them, I've got a promised land for you. I've got a place that's beautiful for you. Oh, they get all gung-ho. Well, okay, it took a while for them. Of course, they still set in their ways. They still keep looking back what? The old ways. The old things. And they kept, and God give them one thing after next. Let them by a pillar of fire in the night, even travel, leading them out of Egypt, the bondage that they're in. Does this sound familiar? Sometimes that's the way we get caught up. We get caught up in the things that we think, well, I got this. I'm okay now. I don't need church, really. I don't really have to go today. You know, I'm telling you, unless you get to a place and understand that you can't do this without God, you can't go on this journey without Him leading you and guiding you and taking you to the promised land that He has promised. Yeah, you can be saved. You can be even born again. But if you want the blessed life that God Jesus is teaching about, you have to understand that the only way you're going to get to that promised land is letting Him become the potter.
Yes. Yes.
He has to be the one molding and shaping our lives, mm-hmm. leading us and guiding us and directing us, just like He was the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. He has to be the reflection in the mirror when we look into it. Now, is the reflection we're seeing, is it Christ-like when we're looking in that mirror? Can we honestly say that He's at the top of the list in our life? Are we pliable? Man, God gives us free will, don't He?
Yes.
He gives us choices. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to have a relationship even with Him if you don't want to. And quite honestly, God knows the intent of our heart. Now, it says He'll leave the 99 to go after the one lost sheep, don't He?
Yes.
But I'll tell you this, He'd rather go after the one that's lost that don't know Him. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to go chasing after the one that knows Him,
right,
and puts Him down the list in their life. Now let's get real.
Okay.
There's something you have to understand. God ain't chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going to chase you down and run after you. He's always there. He never leaves us or forsakes us, but He also gives us that free will, does He not?
Mm-hmm.
To choose. He said, choose you this day who you will serve. So we have to understand that to allow God to work in our life, we have to be willing vessels. We have to be vulnerable and to the point of allowing God to say, okay, Lord, have your way. Have your way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus gave them the prayer, didn't He? He said the disciples, they were trying to teach us how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
What did He say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They lifted the Lord up first. Hallowed be your name. First above all, right? First above all on the list. We got to exalt Him above everything. Not my will be done, but what? Your will be done. Do we got that figured out? Is it His will really in our life? I told you, this is it's a strong word, but I'm telling you, it's a word that if we can get this today,
yes,
we can understand who we are in Christ, and we can begin to walk in the blessed lifestyle that Jesus taught in Matthew 4. Excuse me. Last point. Told you it wasn't long. After we allow God to begin to shape us into His image, He's got us on the potter's wheel, shaping us up, and man, we just come out of the hell we've been in. We might have been delivered from drugs or alcohol or the bondage of whatever you struggle with. What's got to happen next? We understand to be born again now. But do we just get it right there?
No.
It don't all just happen that easy, does it?
No.
There's a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a process. If God just give it to us all at once, we couldn't contain it, it says. We couldn't. What would we do? We'd be just like Satan. We'd be proud, wouldn't we? What pride is the worst sin of all, because why? Because it makes us like God. We think just like, that's why Satan was cast out of heaven. Y'all heard that?
Mm-hmm.
He was prideful. He thought he could be like God. So he was cast out. How does man enter into the equation? Same thing. Pride. It's the sin. That's the deadliest sin, because we think we can, we got this. We think we can, just like Eve, we can be like God. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? That Satan uses the mind and he twists us around. So how do we understand now? How do we walk in that? How do we understand who we are in Christ? My last point is, God has to be the main ingredient. He has to be the main ingredient, guys, girls. We have to first be obedient to the calling now. He told His disciples, what? It's expedient that I go away. Why? They said, don't leave us, Lord, you know? You ever felt like that? Mm-hmm. Listen, I love y'all, but I can't give everything that you need, give you everything you need as a pastor or a teacher or anything else. There's some things you got to get on your own.
That's right.
Come on. You got to feast yourself.
Yes, come mm-hmm. on.
The thing is, when we become born again, we're like babes,
right.
Paul says, right? Babes in Christ.
Yeah.
And what does a babe have to do to survive? It has to eat, right? And it starts out with what? Milk. Paul gives an example. The milk. The things that we're trying to go through and teach now. Who we are in Christ. And all these. Getting a firm foundation. But then as we get into the meat. Yeah. You said it.
Oh, yeah.
Life don't just stay all up here, does it?
No.
Yea, though I walk through what?
Valley of the shadow of death.
Are we fearing no evil, or are we still walking in fear?
Mm-hmm.
Because God isn't our main ingredient. God isn't at the top of the priority. The food chain. We're talking about food there as new Christians, you know. Or we just stay like babies. I see so many baby Christians. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad people are born again. And I've led a lot of people to the Lord. But the truth is, if they're never discipled,
right.
There's Jesus gives the analogy of the seed and the sower and all that. And how that once, you know, the sower and the soil. And you're either going to get into good soil and get down to where you can grow,
right.
Or you're going to be like the seed that's sown by the wayside. What happens? There's a couple of things that happens. One, it just don't take root at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The next thing, it takes a little root. It gets a little bit of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It gets a little bit of, you know, church, and then what?
Storm comes.
Amen.
The world, the things of life, the weeds, the tares, they grow up around us. And what do they choke the life. They keep us just bound up.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
They keep us bound in life to where none of the blessed life that Jesus taught can manifest itself.
Right.
Because all those things, all we can focus on are those things around us.
Yes.
Oh, well, beautiful day, huh? Man, I'd like to be at the lake. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anything that detours us and keep us from growing.
Yeah.
Every distraction. That is what it talks about by the wayside. And grow the weeds and the tares, the tears of life
mm-hmm.
that keeps us from growing. So, God gives us free will. It's our choice. And now it's just like Jesus told the disciples. It's expedient that I go away. That what? So that the Father would send another. And that is what? The Holy Spirit. Back to where we started. The Holy Spirit is the key. Recently, I'm going to close here in a second, but y'all, most of you know, me and my wife, we raised Mountain Fives. They're little small dogs, they're hunting dogs. And if you pull up to our house, you know right away, because they're everywhere. But the supplier that I have, they started changing things around and all. And I used to get 7 bags of dog feed, and I get one free. So I started searching around. I'm like, man, they quit that, and it raised the price. And long story short, was making it really expensive for this food that we had been feeding. And from the beginning, when we started raising these dogs, me and Penny, we decided that we're going to feed them good food. Because you can just go down to Walmart and get some Old Roy. And listen, don't be offended if you feed Old Roy or whatever you feed. I'm just, me and Penny, we just decided we'd talk to a holistic vet and different ones about dog food and all. We were clueless. I was just like most people. I was going to go down there and get some Old Roy or something, you know, some dog good dog food, I thought. Well, long story short was we were educated and learned that there's more to this dog food stuff than the eye can meet. There's so much stuff in these dog foods that are unhealthy, just really unhealthy. And as you understand, they've got labels, you know, and these ingredient labels. And most people don't even read them, to be honest with you, you know. And they put it in what? Just like anything else, advertisement and stuff, where it's so small that you can't really see those ingredients. Am I right? I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah. Wow, wait a minute. Don't break out there.
Yeah.
And then you're still, like, you know, trying to focus. And, well, not only that, they also put this nice picture of this healthy dog, you know, this beautiful dog. What is that? It's all advertisement, isn't it? It's all to draw you in. But what we realize, though, is there's some really unhealthy stuff in these kibbles, they call it. It's dog food. Man, and I had a dog food wrapper I was going to bring, I forgot it. But y'all get the picture, don't you? Mm-hmm. So I was looking around the other day. I'm like, man, I just can't afford this. You know, I'm fed for like 4 or 5 years this food, and I love it. But if they're going to do that, you know, I'm just going to change. I'm going to find something else, you know. And I started looking all over, and it was like unbelievable. I couldn't find anything. I kept looking, and I was looking at this. And the more I read, and more be the wrong ingredients, you know, right off the bat. And if you know, what you need to know is that the way they have to, by law, put the ingredients down there in a progressive way, mm-hmm. from the most weight of the ingredient down. And if you'll take a look at it, most of the stuff that it starts out is mainly fluff. It's just filler and byproducts and all these things that are corn, mm-hmm. wheat. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, all these different ones. And so as I was reading through these things, the Lord started to speak to me. I feel the Holy Spirit strong. Somebody needs to get this. The Lord started speaking to me, and I looked at that food, and He says, my church is like this. My church is like this. He began to speak to me. He said, I'm not the main ingredient. I'm not the main ingredient. I left that store, I began to ask myself, if I had a label on me, what would be my ingredients? I'm going to challenge you right now. Would you ask yourself, what would be your ingredients today?
Water.
There's a lot of things we could probably have that's not healthy, right? There's a lot of things right now, if we got real and we looked in the mirror again in the reflection of who we are, and like we go back to that, the image we're supposed to be in.
Right.
If we read that ingredient was on our head, I bet you, I don't know, would God be there? Would God be the main ingredient? Not only that, but there's so much false advertising and things, whether it's dog food or products all over. Everywhere you go, there's watered down things. You can get Coke and product, all these products, and what? They're all watered down with something.
Yeah.
God began to speak to me about that and how that the church has become watered down. It's not real. He's not the main ingredient, and He wants to be, so we can be healthy. And what do? We choose the fluff. We choose things that are not healthy because it's easier. Oh, get this, guys. If you don't get nothing else today, understand, we're created in the image of an almighty God who should be walking in the blessings and the rule of everything in this earth. But this earth is so unhealthy. Everywhere you look, from our nation, from our leadership, we've taken God out of everything possible. He's barely even in the Constitution anymore. And then when He is, He gets overlooked. In our lives, it's the same way. We want everything but God to be first on the list. We place our families before Him. We place our jobs, our homes, anything that we think is important to us. But the truth of the matter is, if He ain't first on the list, none of the rest is going to be blessed. None of the rest, it don't matter. He says, to go and hate your family, Jesus told Him. That word means love less, okay? But He's making a point.
Mm-hmm.
We place every priority above Him. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself this morning because I know I sometimes do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody in this room does, and I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to get you a place of freedom, like it said in the beginning. Freedom in Christ is understanding we can't do this without Him. There's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to get to the Father except through Jesus. And Jesus said, I need to go away to where I can send the Father. Me and the Father can send another one to where it goes back to our image. To where He can live in you and tell you, Ronnie, don't do that. I'm tired of seeing you struggle there with this sin in your life. I'm tired of seeing you battle this addiction. I'm tired of seeing you be defeated and letting the devil destroy your marriage, letting the devil destroy your kids, your family. And all we have to do is repent, He says,
yes.
And be converted.
Yes. Yes.
But we're too stiff-necked. We've not decided on our own that we're going to do this thing, and we're going to do it on our own.
Yes.
I don't need you, Lord. Really, we're just.
Yes. Yes.
Can anybody understand what I'm saying today?
Yes.
There's something we got to come to, the reality and the fact of the matter.
Yes.
That There's no other way. Yes, our jobs are important. Yes, our families are important. Our stuff is even important. God don't want us to not have stuff.
Right.
He wants us to not let stuff have us. Guys, you want to see the blessings of the Lord? Understand this principle today. Make Him the main ingredient. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, that God, that if we lean not on our understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge You, You'll direct our paths. God, I pray everyone here today would be pliable right now. Mold our old hard hearts. Help us to understand how much You love us. You cut each one of us like You said, created. Your creation is beautiful because You chose us in that. Your infinite love and compassion for mankind that to make us above all, everything on this earth, everything to rule over, every animal, everything in this world. But Lord, we placed You at the bottom of our list. God, we repent and we place our faith in You and trust in You again. Lord Jesus, just like You told the churches, You have all these works, You have all these things, we have these in our life, the things of life, but there's one thing You have against us. We've left our first love.
Yes.
Now help us, God, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye shut, I want you to, if you're here and you need prayer and you need to say, I need You, Lord, to be at the top of my list. Especially you raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, crucify pride right now. Help us, Lord, focus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can. The Bible says it is written. He wants you to understand and know. If that's you and you hadn't placed Him as a priority in your life, you might have been like Nicodemus. You knew the Lord, but you don't have the Lord through the Holy Spirit. You can today. You can raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand and acknowledge it. Because if that's so, then it says if you deny before men, if you deny it, you can't live in this world without knowing Him and being born again. And you sure can't go to heaven. If that's anybody in here, just raise your hand, we'll pray with you. Okay, Lord, this morning, those who raised their hand to, you might need a rededication. There's something here that today that just pierced right to your heart. I ask You, Lord, now for Your grace and Your mercy. Nobody leaves here with any condemnation. Everyone leaves here with freedom in You.
Yeah.
And knowing that Your grace is enough. And that Your love and compassion for everyone here is as a daddy. Because You are our daddy, God. Now, Lord, as we look as our children and we look at things in life, and even when I pray, Lord, that everyone here, as they look in the mirror, they're going to remember this message. They're going to remember it every time they look this. And Lord, I pray this over them, that when they look in this, that Lord, their hearts all automatically is going to come to You. And they're going to know. And You're going to put Your hand on some things in their life, just like You did mine. Just like You did mine, Lord. And say, I want that. I want that to be down the list.
Yes.
I want to go back to the top of the list. I want to be priority. Thank You, God, that Your love allows us to repent.
Yes.
And come back to You.
Yes.
And that You don't give up on us. And God, there's no condemnation. There's nothing but freedom in You. That, Lord, we can glorify You Lord, I know this wasn't a run, shout, and holler, and jump, but this is a needed word today. And I pray, God, that, Lord, as we prioritize, God, we do make you main ingredient. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hold on a second. I want to share
praise
something.
God.
Ronnie didn't read something that was in his sermon. Hold on, Kelly, just 1 second. There was a last line in this sermon that was in his notes that he did not read. Mm-hmm. And when you said what we're made of mainly is water, mm-hmm. are we Jesus flavored or are we Jesus filled? Mm-hmm. You know how you will get bars and it says, or juice, and it's like 10% juice, mm-hmm. and the rest of it's all fake stuff? Mm-hmm. All right. Or you get 100% juice. Mm-hmm. Our problem is we've become Jesus flavored, mm-hmm. and we're not Jesus filled. And we have to make that decision. And the other thing is, if anybody has got something on your heart that you need to really repent of, and you need someone else to pray with you, do not hesitate. If you want either of us to go into another room or anything like that, do not let your pride get in the way. Because you know what? As long as you hold on and do not fully repent, God can do nothing else with you until you repent.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No fluff here, right? No flavor. Watered down. No watered down gospel. No watered down Jesus. Well, is there anybody got anything they'd like to, on their heart they'd like to share? Anything we want to always give you an opportunity to do that.
I want to share what God's been showing me.
Oh, you've not shared what you can't.
No, I shared about you. God's been showing me how selfish I am. And really, basically, I mean, it's just that's my just number one gut reaction to everything. It's just about me and what annoys me and what makes me happy. And
I thought this wasn't about me.
And I was taking my grandson out for a walk along the road, and a tractor trailer had parked on the front of our little street. So that another car could not get by. Oh, did you not see the big trench marks? Uh-huh. I thought he's going to go crazy.
Yeah, I drove by it.
Yeah, he doesn't like it when our street gets dirty. Anyways, and so I'm doing that, and I thought, A, they're causing people to trench the street, and they're not supposed to be parked there. They're blocking my street. Mm-hmm. And so I walked up, and I said, you're not leaving this here, are you? And they went, oh, no, we're going to move it. And I'm like, yeah, right. I said, people are going to come, and they're not going to want to go through the mud. And I turned around, and I walked back, and I said, is that your witness to them? And it was more important to me that they get out of my street than for me to be loving and kind and show them Jesus. And he said, and that's your witness. That's what you left in their mouths about you. And he's just really hammering it over and over again. If my purpose in life is not all about me, if my purpose in life, as everyone's is to bring other people into the kingdom, everything you say, everything we do, every person we meet, mm-hmm. every attitude we have, is it going to draw people to Christ or repel them?
Amen.
Would I have been proud to be a Christian? But what would I do? Turn around after I'd just been so stern with them and say, by the way, let me tell you about Jesus. That would have gone over real well. So I just wanted to share with you and confess. I mean, I'm just selfish at my core, but I want to change. I want to see everybody the way God sees them and see every person as an opportunity to either lead them to Christ or minister to them so they will be closer to Christ. And I just want to challenge you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has a blessed Father's Day. And enjoy your family. Enjoy your day. And we'll see you soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.